All right. Very good to be together this morning. I'm so glad all of you could come. And I know some of us have caught this bug that's going around. God bless them. May they be healed immediately and so forth. and some of our folks are away. So you're going to be praying for them and that they have a great time. Of course, Richard and Hetty are back from Bali, of all places. Excellent. Very good. This morning, I want to bring out one particular thing from this gospel reading today, and it's the behavior of Mary. Mary always kind of looked down a little bit, the one who's messing up the whole works and doing what she wants, but there's something in this for us. And as I was reading this during the week, pardon me, I was reminded of an incident that happened in Pennsylvania. And just to give you, we're at a parish there, just to give you a little picture of what it was, the congregation seating, the first part of it was kind of like a horseshoe. So there was a part in the middle that was open. And then there were rows behind that. And it was very comfortable, very, very nice, and we enjoyed it. And so in that open space, sometimes I'd be out there preaching or other things would be going on. And this one particular day, I don't remember what the sermon was about or any of the songs we sang or anything else that happened. But after the creed, there was a young woman in our church who was quite a superb dancer, well-trained, and just beautifully dance, liturgical dance and ballet. There's many things that she could do. After the creed, she comes up into that open space and in silence does this dance. It was just incredible the way that it went. And you felt the presence of the Spirit. There was like an electricity in the room or however you experience things like that. But it really focused us on what God was doing at that moment. And for her to do that was a very extravagant act of love poured out towards Jesus as well as shared with all of us there in the congregation. That's what we see Mary doing here in this incident. And there's something for us here for us to take and apply to our own lives. Now, you will recall Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It was just a short time, a very brief time before that, that Lazarus was raised from the dead. And it was a brief time before that that Jesus was there visiting Mary and Martha. And, of course, the two sisters were, however you want to think about it, they were going at it. You know, they family dysfunction there. And Jesus was in the middle of it. For a bit. But here they are, and they're having a dinner in Jesus' honor. They had a dinner for him. And Jesus and the 12 and others, they're headed towards Jerusalem, and Bethany is on the way, where Lazarus and Mary and Martha live. And of course, as you know, the only thing that's going to happen to Jesus is he's going to be arrested, tried, crucified, buried, and then rise from the dead. That's it. Oh, there'll be the triumphal entry too, but before all that starts. But that's what's going to happen, and he's on his way there, and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, well, think, okay, here's Jesus. It was just a little bit ago, Lazarus was raised from the dead, so they had the big dinner in honor of him, and Lazarus, instead of taking responsibilities, being the one raised from the dead, got to sit as one of the guests. There's you can see that there on the first couple of sentences of the gospel. And the typical things are going on. Everybody's there. Lazarus has the place of honor. Martha is serving everyone, as it says. And Mary is just apparently off doing her own thing in front of everybody, taking this expensive, absolutely over-the-top costly thing of perfume and pouring it out on Jesus, on his head and on his feet, taking her hair and wiping it off of her feet, washing his feet with that. Incredible. I mean, it says here, Mary took a pound of costly perfume, made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. There's an awful lot that we can take out of this gospel, but I just want to focus today on that one act of extravagance, that extravagant love that Mary poured out. And there were some reactions to it. You notice the immediate reaction was from one of the people that had been following Jesus for all these years, for 3 years, from Judas. And Judas objected strenuously. What's wrong with you? This should be sold, given to the poor. What a waste. What a waste. That didn't come to our committee meeting for planning. What are you doing? We'll come back to that in a few minutes. Nonetheless, Mary is pouring out her extravagance. And I want you to notice that it said that she had pure nard. Now, the Greek can suggest a kind of a wider meaning here. Of course, in this case, pure is the exact proper translation. But you get these nuances where it can mean faithful. And what Mary is doing is pouring extravagant love upon Jesus faithfully. The expression of her faith is this extravagance. Something that she could barely hold herself back from doing. In fact, she had planned this. To go get a pound of pure nard is not something you do when you see Jesus approaching the house and you say, I'll be right back. And you run over to the pure nard store and pick it up. I mean, she had to think about this. They had to know Jesus was coming. Somehow they knew this. They planned this dinner. And Mary's plans were to take a huge amount of money for that family. Go get that expensive perfume, a whole pound of it, so that she could do this act in front of everybody who was there that day. And you might say, even if she didn't know it, if it was inadvertent, that she was preparing him for his death, for his burial, which is, that's the significance of pouring it on his feet. that's part of the preparation for burial. Now, she may not have known that, just was being extravagant and really just pouring it out, as she did the first time that we encounter Jesus at their house, where Martha is taking care of all the business and making everything's cleaned up, and Mary's just sitting at Jesus' feet, acting as a fully committed disciple. Extravagant. This is just extravagant. Now, this has an awful lot to do with us. And I'm not going to suggest that you go out to the Pure Nard store this afternoon and buy as much as you can afford or more. But there's something about Mary's extravagance that we can adopt and take into our lifestyle, our daily lifestyle of following Jesus. We can plan it. We can think about it. We can let what is in our heart and soul just permeate throughout our whole life and then bubble up into those expressions of extravagant love towards Jesus. That is something that he calls us to all the time anyway. And it's something that we can do individually, and when we do that individually, we're prepared to do that corporately when we're together on Sunday morning. Pardon me. So there are a couple of things I think that we could take into account that would help us think about what that is. Like, what was the last extravagant thing that you did for Jesus? Does anything come to mind? If not, that's okay. Because we'll have a few things come to mind this morning. And you don't have to be like Mary. In fact, Jesus doesn't want you to be like Mary. He wants you to be like you. Like, for example, can you express any emotions fully you have to Jesus. If you are heartbroken, can you let your tears flow before Jesus? You don't have to do it in front of everybody, but just in front of Him. Can you let whatever is on your mind or your heart or what's going on with you just be fully given over to Him at any given moment? That's extravagant. And if you're anything like me, you want to be in control of those things. You want to hold on to them and make them yours and say who gets to know them when, even God. Can you let your full joy be expressed to God? Your full thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus, for this. And just let it flow. As if it were a jar of expensive perfume being poured out on Jesus. Are there things like that that you can do in your life that show an extravagant love to Him no matter what else is going on? Even because those other things are going on. You may have a few things coming to mind right now. Now, one thing that can happen, and it causes me to resist the idea of being extravagant with Jesus. But one thing that can happen is that other people could object. And if the gospel is a sign of where those other people might be, they could be in the church. They could be here this morning. Objecting to your extravagance towards Jesus in whatever way it's expressed. Not that that would happen. It happened with Jesus, it could happen to us. And I want you to see what Mary did. It didn't hold her back. She didn't stop. She didn't stop because Judas, who was one of the 12, one of those chosen by hand by Jesus, said, "You can't do that. That's not the way to go." That didn't stop her at all. She just went ahead and kept expressing extravagantly the love that she had for Jesus. Now, there is a challenge for us in this. And the challenge is, what is the extravagant love that you might express to Jesus today, tomorrow, as you're just falling asleep, when you're driving down the road? You know, when you're driving down the road, one of the expressions of extravagant love towards Jesus is asking God to protect the person who just cut you off. And then he and everybody else on the road that day would get home safely. As opposed to the other choices that may come to your mind at that moment. You remember the widow's mite, the story of the widow's mite, where Jesus watching the treasury at the temple. Some of the rich Pharisees gave lots of money, but it was just a fraction of what they could give. And here comes this widow giving everything. The widow was the one who showed extravagant love. All right. May I now make a suggestion to you for extravagant love when we're together? Yes. Thank you. Okay. Then I will. Okay. You know, there's occasions when we sing, particularly it could happen during the offertory or sometimes during communion, where the song is a little more rich, a little slower, expressing some devotion. It's maybe even a little more personal in some ways. And the music leaders that day begin repeating maybe the chorus or a verse in a chorus, and that repeat is not signaled in the bulletin. What I want to suggest to you is that that is not an occasion for us to learn the song better. That repeat is an expression of extravagant love towards Jesus. and maybe the third time we repeat it, you might be able to close your eyes or put the bulletin down and let that not only be the song of your head, but the song of your heart towards Him at that moment. That would be the expensive perfume being poured out upon Jesus. It would be the fragrance that fills the room, that points to His presence and our connection, our love, the expression of the bride to the bridegroom, of all that He means to us, and even that which we cannot know and express. We're still saying, I know there's things that You have done because of Your great love for me, and so our love for You is expressed this way. The offertory, when we sing Awesome Beauty, you may find yourself going that way. Lord of all creation, we gladly bow to You. You may find that inside, in your soul, you're bowing to Jesus as an act of extravagant love. When we get to the communion time, the distribution, fill me now. Fill me now. Spirit, come and fill me now. It's legitimate to pray that as, Lord, I have needs and I don't know what to do. Please give me Your power. It's also legitimate to pray that to Jesus in song as saying, I don't know how else to express it, but my love for You is beyond what I can say. Fill me now. You might find ways to do this each day in your own personal prayer time. Sometimes just being present and silent in the presence of the Lord is an extravagant thing to do. It could be costly for you to do that. Sometimes you may feel the Lord tapping you on the shoulder and saying, just come apart with Me for a couple of minutes. Or step over here into this room and just pay attention. Just be with Me. Or let's take a short walk and you find yourself praising Him. Maybe some of the praise songs are coming through or some other means of praise. That's an extravagant act of love that you can do on your own. Now what happens? What's the result? What goes on in your life when that goes on, when you do that, when you give yourself into that? There's something happens in your lifestyle, in your habits. There's something that goes on. If you just come aside to prayer anytime that the Lord says, come aside to prayer, then your habit of prayer, your set times of prayer become more full. And then there's something about your life that becomes more attractive to those who don't follow Him. Your ability to forgive those who insult you can increase. You can think of other things, I'm sure. There's just something about the habits of following Jesus, of taking His habits, that flow out of your pouring out extravagant love upon Him, that enriches your life and makes you more like Him. That was, if you can express it this way, the secret of the early church. The ability to have habits of the lifestyle of Jesus. There was no Billy Graham. There wasn't an awful lot of evangelistic tract passing out and all kinds of things. It was the fragrance of Jesus amongst His gathered people, of those who poured out extravagant love upon Him. that made them attractive? Here's the challenge for you and I. What is the extravagant love, the expression of extravagant love that right now, today, Jesus is asking you to pour out? It could be silent and still. It could be anything. It could be raising your hands a little bit when we sing. It could be taking something to your neighbor who needs it. Or even if they don't. Just what's he asking you to do as an act of extravagant love? Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've drawn us here. We ask that this morning as we come to your table, you would prompt us to acts of extravagant love. You would transform us into your likeness. We ask that the love that has driven you would drive us, and the love that you release would form us, and the ability to pour that love out in extravagant, costly ways would mark us now and forever. Amen.